Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the coach. You're checking out the Brad Gilmore Show with the dress shoe wearing, Ric Flair good hair having, entertainment world champion, Brad Gilmore. World champion, Brad Gilmore. Brad, did you really think I was going to cut a promo for you? Supporting you? Listen, man, I was born a heel. I'm going to die a heel. And in the middle, I'm going to roll a heel.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. On demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand. On demand.
And now, here's your host, Brad Gilmore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show. On demand. A amazing Monday morning, an amazing week coming up in the life of Brad Gilmore. So much stuff to talk about, but this podcast is already extra long because I have the one and only Leland in the building, and he's here talking about his new project, Deprived. We said a couple weeks ago this interview was recorded, and literally we were supposed to record it like 9 p.m., and then we didn't. We went to dinner when he got there at the studio, and then we ended up not recording till like midnight or 1. I can't even remember, but it was like 90 minutes straight interview with the one and only Leland. Really great guy. You know, Leland and I have been friends for a few years, and we've really started to connect, and this podcast was a connector. That's what podcasts do. They connect people. I actually saw Leland at this past weekend's Us debut live performance, Avery EP release / live performance at Fitzgerald's. Leland was going to come. He missed Avery's set, so he was like, yo, I'm not going to pay, you know, the money to get in because I only wanted to see Avery. Like, shout out to all the other artists, Buckamore, Ume, Tontons, but he came to see Avery. And ended up some dudes on the balcony were like, hey, Afro, dude, you need to get in, man? He was like, yeah, man, I need to get a ticket. How much is a ticket, bro? He was like, it's $12. And this guy turns to his friends. He's like, hey, bros, do we have $12 to get Afro Dude in? And some guy pulls out a 20, and they run it down to Leland, and they get him in. And it was an awesome moment. But we talk about all of his Deprived EP and much more. A couple things I want to plug before we get straight into this interview today. November 6th, Reality Wrestling special, live television special. We're going to be taping November the 6th out in Hickinson, Texas. I hope I'm getting that completely wrong, but Galveston County Fairgrounds, November the 6th, Reality Wrestling presents BCW, that's Biker Chicks Wrestling, in Hitchcock, Texas. And then 2 days later, we'll be at the Clear Lake Sports and Recreation Complex, November the 8th, for our regularly scheduled live television tapings, Reality Wrestling, Soul of the South Network Cube. You can go to realitywrestling.com to get tickets. ODB and Daivari will be in attendance, so it should be a fun show. Without further ado, we're going to get into my interview with the one and only LEELONN, Leland, after DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix here on the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show. On the Mound. Oh, hey, one last thing. My mic kind of shorts out at the beginning of the interview, but it gets back within like 10 seconds, so don't freak out. All right, here's Dance Floor to the Sun by 2011. Woo!
You got that body I wanna. Damn, girl, I'm feeling you. So let's just do. And me, I'm in that place you wanna be. Yeah, girl, I'm talking VIP. So let's just be. So let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor. Forgetting what we came for. Cause tomorrow's way too soon.
Like the Huxtables, but I'm just trying to figure out if I love you though. Cause you know what they say about your type. Off-white, model like, only order salads right. But see, with an accent that's thick as hell, real sweet, with some eyes like you're from Brazil. And well, I can tell that you're feeling this. And in them Louis Vuittons, girl, you be killing it. This is something that I've been on. And your body I can send on. Friend zone, I'm just asking what the fuck is that. You're not trying to fall in love, good luck with that. Cause your mama say better get stuck with that. And your friends say he is where the buzz is at. So, why you trying to act mean, girl, when you know your boy tighter than them skinny jeans, girl. Spit like a list, but I gotta keep it clean, girl. You just gotta try me once, I'm a fiend, girl. Dream, girl. Something like Beyonce ring, girl. Something like Beyonce one day. Maybe a bunch of kids like the Brady. Trying to say the world, why cleft on some Haiti. Lately, baby, I've been thinking I can change for you. Got a boy playing a new game for you.
So let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor. Forgetting what we came for. Cause tomorrow's way too soon.
To the sun, you worked all day, got a little bit done. That's okay, now the night begins. As long as we don't go home tonight, never ends. So, oh, yo, we way past go. Collect 200, now let's head to the show. See your favorite band with a drink in the hand. The way you look at me, it's clear I'm the man. But this ain't about me, this about you. The way you're looking at me is how I'm looking at you. With them cat eye shades, thin little waist, thick gold ass and the lips that taste. Say what you think about, she said nothing. It's easy to see that heart start to pumping, pulse increasing, cheeks start to blushing. But do you wanna be starting some? Mama say, mama say, mama kusa. Mama say, mama say, mama kusa. Your mama don't like me, daddy wanna fight me. I don't really care, you down or not. We can hop in the truck, drive far away. And with a little luck, maybe you stay in my bed, rest your head. And we can think about the greatest day.
So let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor. Forgetting what we came for. Cause tomorrow's way too soon.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Brad Show on Demand. It's been a night.
Oh, man.
I'm just gonna put out. It's been a night. It's been a night for us.
Yeah.
And today on the show we have a special guest who appeared on one of the first 10 episodes of the Brad Show.
Right.
Episode 9.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He had another little stint, little guest spot one time on the Night series. But man, this guy's back in the building. He's got a new project. I'm so excited. I'm standing up while I'm podcasting. This is a first for me. I want to welcome back to the show the one and only, real name, Lelon.
What's up? What's up? What's going down, y'all? How y'all doing?
How you doing, man?
I'm freaking blessed, dog. I'm excellent.
Dude, we've had a nice night. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. When we were trying to link up to do this interview, right?
Right.
First, we had a couple like, you know, reschedules. I couldn't make it, then you couldn't make it, and then finally we got here, right? And when you said 9 p.m., it was cool with me, but I was like, man, I've never done an interview at 9 p.m., like that late for the podcast, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You got here at 9 p.m., and then we just started playing music, talking about music. Then, you know, Avery was in here. Avery is Us was in here, and we were just chilling, and then we went to dinner.
Uh-huh.
And now we finally are rolling tape on podcast, and it's 11:30, right?
Right.
And it's 2.5 hours later than what I intended to podcast at. But I feel like everything that we did led up to this moment, and it was worth it.
Seriously.
How you doing though, man?
Dog, I'm freaking good, man. This is see, you know what's crazy, dog? I'm gonna talk about how I'm doing in a second, but this is the way things are supposed to happen. Naturally, man. Naturally. We've been talking about getting together, chilling, vibing, all of this stuff for the longest.
Yeah.
But today, we got here on time, just let the night flow. I'm so comfortable right now. I got pho in my stomach. What did you get from
I had chicken teriyaki with rice.
Chicken teriyaki with rice.
You know what I'm saying?
We had a great conversation at dinner. Avery's over here producing these incredible beats, doing everything himself. And we're just in here chilling. I'm feeling great right now.
It's organic. It's maybe the most organic interview that I'm ever going to conduct because we're just sitting here. We just, like you said, we had an amazing dinner.
Yes, dog.
You know what I'm saying? I can't remember the last time I went out with a dude and we had that but great of a dinner, right?
Okay, uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? And no dessert. You know what I'm saying? No dessert.
Shut up.
But it was a great dinner. Yeah. We had so much to talk about, but you know, you're here for a multitude of reasons.
Right.
Primarily being which, you know, I've been wanting to have you back on the show forever, mm-hmm. but you're like, man, not until I have something worth talking about.
That's right.
Which is funny because anybody else in this entire city, maybe in this entire world, I could hit up on a Wednesday to do a Thursday podcast and I'd be like, yeah, I'll be there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you are like, no, I want to make sure I have something worth discussing.
That's right.
And it's been years since you've been on the show.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
It's been a long while. Mm-hmm. Why are you that kind of person? Why don't you just jump in it? Because most people just want, they need press. They want press. I need to get my name out there, brother.
Right.
Why not you?
It's very ironic to say this, but I'm looking at a picture on your wall right now, and I see a guy named Don Corleone.
Yes.
You know who he is, correct?
Yes. Godfather, who? Marlon Brando.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you know exactly who he is. I mean, yes. Why not? You put it on your wall.
I put it on my wall, Leilon.
Okay, now this guy was a man of value. He was a man of family. He was a man of doing things, worth doing things. It's crazy. I can't make this up. I'm looking at his picture right now. He's not even looking directly at you. He doesn't have to.
No.
Because he has his eyes on the prize.
Yeah.
When you have powerful figures that you're inspired by, completely powerful figures that you're inspired by, and you understand the journey it took them to get to the destination that you feel is your dream, you can understand the way and the reasons why they take the steps that they take. And I don't mean steps as in a staircase right now. I'm actually talking about my left foot going in front of my right foot.
That was really deep right now. You just went too deep already. I mean, there is a picture of Marlon Brando portraying Don Corleone.
Don.
And here's the thing, though, is you touched on it. He made the decisions he had to make.
Right.
To obtain the goal that was in his eyes, right? To obtain what he wanted, what he felt like was his passion or his calling or his purpose.
Right.
Is the word I'm looking at. His purpose. So they might not have always been the most flattering ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
He might not have done things that he wanted to do.
Right, right.
But he had to do them to lead him to take the steps along his path to achieve his purpose.
Ah, talk to him. What's Man. Up, Brad? What's up, Brad?
Man, what's what up, is Brad? Going on?
What's up, Doc? Where we at, Doc?
Normally, I'm already talking about, you know, beef between Jay-Z and somebody. We're talking about you looked at a picture on the wall and you – everyone listening right now just had to push pause for a second to digest what we just said. That's incredible.
It is incredible.
And you are very comfortable right now. You're laying back on the couch. You know what I'm saying? Kicks up on the whatever beanbag.
This beanbag is fresh, dog.
Beanbag is fresh.
It's so sweet.
I got that in a silent auction.
Oh, you won this month.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, $12, that came home to Papa.
You know for 12, you gotta tell him a bill 50. This mug feels like alpaca.
And guess what? If I ever got a stain on that, I'm gonna blot that shit.
You blot that
shit. You don't rub that. You blot that shit.
That's right, with club soda, girl.
Club soda, man, and salt. If you got table salt, salt and club soda, man. cure up any stain. You don't need Tide to go.
We don't need it.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, we've had so much to discuss.
Yeah.
I mean, over dinner, we had an amazing, immaculate conversation.
Right.
I wish we were rolling audio on that because that was just
man
eye-opening.
Yeah, dinner with Gilmore.
But, like, you touched on something when we were at dinner about you started to expand your horizons, right, in a sense. You were used to a certain thing, then you expanded to a new thing, and you're understanding more about music and life. Touch on that. What were we talking about?
Where can I start? Give me. We talked about so much at dinner. I don't want to start in the meat. I want to pick up the knife. So give me one place that we started on.
Okay. What's been going on lately in the career of Leland?
Oh, well, that works. Leland has completely changed his methods of thinking. Leland is completely comfortable in his formula, yet uncomfortable with his creativity.
Talk to him.
Okay, so there's no complacency in this. It's a comfortable way in the way Leland does his thing, but uncomfortable as in he's kicking down boundaries that have been placed on him from people who aren't even in the studio. Now, Leland is, Leland can stop talking in third person now. when I came back from 106 and Park 2 years ago, June 27th, 2 years ago.
And you did the Wild Out Wednesday, right?
Wild Out Wednesday.
And you performed Maybe, right?
Maybe. First single I ever, first song I ever recorded.
Which, you know what? Just in spirit of this interview and this amazing conversation we've had, you're going to be able, listeners, fans, you're going to be able to hear the story about the creation of Leland's first song ever.
Uh-oh.
You're going to be able to hear that story as told to Brad Gilmore back in 2011. It'll be on this podcast tomorrow after you hear this. So that's going to be a little special treat on the Brad Gilmore Show archive. But continue.
Oh, Brad, let's go. Dog, man, I need to hear that myself. Damn, yeah. Brad, because that was when it really happened.
Yeah,
I can't even tell the story the way it was when it was completely authentic.
Yeah.
It's still authentic, but that was like in that the was, that yep. was in the mode.
That was the mode, yeah.
Shit.
The
okay.
video just came out. Okay, but Wild Out Wednesday, okay. BET. Can we talk about that before we just breeze over it? Because I don't think I've ever asked you about that.
Okay.
What was that experience like? How'd you get that spot, that gig?
Okay. I'm going to tell you top to bottom. I was kicking, what was that, 2012? I was in my apartment kicking it. I wasn't making any beats or anything. I was just like there. Sitting in front of the computer probably as usual. I think I had just gotten my MacBook. And I was just at the crib, literally just at the crib. And I got a phone call from one of my homegirls, and she told me to, she just called me and was like, yo, you need to try out for that BET thing they have going on 97.9. And I said, yeah, right, you know. I tried American Idol in 07 when I came out of high school, didn't make it past the first round, and it wasn't the thing for me. It doesn't feel right for me going to these game shows and things like that.
Yeah.
In the least, never felt discouraged. It was more of a, like, if I want to be a real artist and I want people to respect me, there's no way I'm going to put my career up for a game or a contest, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, just do it. Just try it. It's nothing. And I kept saying, nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. She said, man, you never know what could happen out of this. Just do it. You have the talent. Just do it. There's plenty of people who wish they had what you had. Just do it. And I kept listening and I kept hearing and I kind of got swayed into just doing it because I value her. I value her opinion. So I said, you know, what the hell? So the trick was you have to call in to 97.9 and sing on the radio or something along those lines, right?
Okay.
And if you sing on the radio, they're going to vote for you on the radio. And that's how you get your opportunity to audition for BET. So you have to go through 97.9 to audition for BET. And then once you make it past that BET audition, you go on the show. That's how it was.
Okay.
So that morning, I was calling in. I was like, man, this is some bullshit. This ain't gonna work. I ended up calling the station one more time, and I ended up getting through. But they said, hey, we got the polls closed for today. We got the lines closed. I was like, man, but what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Nobody just giving me any feedback. So I said, fuck it. The next morning, I went up to 97.9 The Box at 4:45 a.m. Stayed there till 12. I waited in the lobby with a sign saying, let me sing on the radio. Please. On the back, it had my logo. I talked to the assistant at the front. I could say her name. I talked to Toya, which I love you to death, Toya. You to this day, I think about you all the time, Toya. And I truly hope God blesses you in everything that's going on with
think
your
life. Think about Toya and that juicy booty.
Shut up. No, I think she got, man, she has kids, man. She got kids.
But that means she can't have a juicy booty, Leland. All right, continue, though. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to interject.
You good. All right, so Toya was good looking. I can't lie. Grown fine. But, yeah, she definitely was really helpful in it. She said it was a few things. She was like, hey, now I see you eager, and I see you you're determined, and you're trying to get it going, but I don't need you getting kicked out. And you right now, you're doing a little too much. Like, I was singing in the spot. Every person that walked by, I was, like, singing to them, talking to them. Candy Eastman heard me sing. She actually gave me some really cool compliments, like, saying that my voice was sounding very pure, and she liked the way I project in a very soft manner, which was, like very ironic to hear.
It's kind of contradictory. Like, yeah. You project softly.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right.
But, it's one of those things. Like, okay, I'm hearing this from, like, a radio legend. So it's like, okay, cool. So stayed there, end up going up to the cafe at the top, and I end up seeing the president of 979.
Big shot.
You know what I had to do. Yeah, I'm on my computer, I'm tweeting, I'm telling people, like, hit him up, tweet my name, you know, all that stuff. Going off. This is the morning. It's like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So I tweeting to people. I see her walk in. I put my computer down, closed the top, walked over to her, reached out to shake her hand. I said, how you doing? I'm Leland. And she shaked my hand and was like, okay. She was thinking, like, are you going to pass me the fruit or what? Like, well, you know, yeah, she's thinking Leland? I work here. And I'm like, yeah. Well, no. I was actually here to see if I can try out for the BET 106. And she cut me off immediately. No. We're not going to do that. The way you do, you have to follow the instructions, follow the rules. Everyone else does. She immediately just shut me down.
Boom.
Immediately done. And I was like, I'm not stopping there. Went back to the spot, sat down at the table, looked out the window, and I was like, man, I'm definitely on like the 16th floor or something right now. I'm looking over 59. And I see the rest of the city. I'm in the tower that projects through the entire city. And on an app that can be that anyone can listen to.
Yeah, worldwide.
I'm getting on this radio station.
Hell yeah, you are.
So, after that, I tweeted a little bit more. I was like, man, I'm determined. You know, it's going down. I didn't tell anybody where I was. And I ended up talking to my homie Kiati the day before, and he definitely put some strong words.
Shout out to
Kiati. Yeah, shouts to Kiati, man. Kiati, that dude, that's one selfless, amazing person.
You know, it's funny. It's like he's the guy that I had never met him, right? But I guess we both were aware of one another.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy. The first time we actually met face to face, it was at some like Ludacris something or another. Something with Ludacris. I don't remember the exact thing. But it was just automatic love, and, you know, we just appreciated one another.
Yeah.
And he's a really cool guy. I mean, I have nothing but good things to say, but continue.
Yeah, and I can definitely add to that. He's a great guy, man.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He just has a good spirit about him, man.
Yeah,
when you
does.
See Kiati, he'll greet you with a hug.
Yeah.
Unisex. He'll greet you with a hug because he's... And you won't even take it in a sexual manner. You'll take it as like, yo, this dude just gave me a warm, fulfilling hug, like he's happy to be alive, and he's happy that I am alive.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I'm completely appreciative of that guy. He's an inspiration just walking. So,
great person.
Yeah, he ended up putting me on Game.
And he's been on 106 in Park before.
Yeah.
Freestyle Friday.
He was on Freestyle Friday.
I remember watching that live.
That's crazy.
As he it was. Happened, but continue.
Yeah. Around that time, was Amy Miller up there too? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yachty. Young. Yachty. Harbatic Yachty. What's up, boy? He put me on Game. So I'm at the station in my red pants, I think black Lelon tee and some black Vans on or something like that, and my blue jean shirt. I wore that stuff all the time. That's all I had. So after the cafe getting shut down, me looking over the city, thinking just about, like, you know, I'm here. I've started. Why quit? I went back down to that lobby and was singing for the Mad Hatter Morning Show through the window. I had the thing on the window. I had this, that, that, and this, that, and that. I was there for hours, and I kept, like, it was a few times that some people came through and were like, yo, you might have to leave. And the Toya came out of nowhere and was like, yo, she just had to pull people aside. People who were doing their job. You can't even get mad at a security guy for doing your job.
Yeah.
But Toya was like, yo, let this kid stay. Let's just see what he can do. Just try. Like, he's here. Let him stay. And for her, from then on, J-Mac ended up calling me from the radio phone. I ended up answering the phone. And he was like, boy, look. Now, I just heard you went up to the cafe trying to holler at my boss. Now, you know, it's 6 a.m, dog, and you try to talk to my white boss, a white lady, and you try to come at her talking about getting on the show. That ain't happening, boy. He was like, come on, man. So what you going to do? You going to sing for us or what? All right, we're going to put you on the radio in just a few. Got on the radio, sang my piece. I immediately hit everybody. It was like, yo, you got to tweet. You got to tweet. You got to, like, it was so crazy. It was like a paradigm shift. I think that was like part of the beginning on the radio recognizing and being aware of the internet presence.
Yeah.
Because they wanted everybody to call in and vote.
Yeah, who calls in?
I had everybody on Twitter going.
Yeah.
So much so that I was a trending topic for 2 days.
Really?
The first day trending topic didn't even get on the radio. The second day I went up to the radio station, end up being a trending topic, and actually went it through. So wow. It was like, yeah, people are tweeting right now. So 979 was like, okay, if you think this, the first day to like call in, I'm like, okay, who's calling in? And most of the people who are trying to call in and talk about this, they can't get through.
Yeah.
You're on the red line.
Yeah.
So the second day they say, yo, if you like this person, tweet us their name.
Guess whose name they tweeted.
And the story was there. So I ended up going to the 106 in Park
audition.
Well, audition, yeah. I'm thinking interview, I'm tripping. Went to the audition and it was a lot of people there. I saw a lot of familiar faces, and apparently from what I did, it stood out. I just had my usual performance. Like, I picked up a lot of inspiration from Houston's Godfathers, the rappers. One thing I love about what a rapper does is they command the stage and they let you know that I am here to wreck. I'm here to kill this performance. And I am here to make sure that you remember everything I did on this stage and you know my name. All in one. That's what I picked up from rappers. And from that day on, well, from the beginning on, that's what I've always practiced. So with that performance, there was no standing in the back with the mic stand and, you know, singing in front of the 979 box banner. As soon as they cut the music on, I started walking in my circles like the Beastie Boys or Run DMC or something, and I started singing my song. Sang my song, and then I walked up to the judges' table, and I put my elbows on the table, and I made sure I pointed to and I sang to Nate, who worked for 979 at that point. And I made sure, no, you're going to see me. You're going to remember me.
Yeah.
And she told, when I got done, she told me how much she enjoyed the performance. And I was like honored to hear this. I grew up listening to this woman on the radio, you know? Like on the way to literally, bro, on the way to school when Lil Flip, the Freestyle King, was freestyling for 30 minutes straight. Like, hey, Flip, cut the beat off, yo, we gotta go to commercial, Flip. Those times, like in eighth grade, riding the bus to school every day, listening to these people, and I'm getting a chance to see you in person. I'm taking this opportunity. Taking it. So that was that. After I walked to the side, and Pat Charles, who used to work for 106, used to be the music programming director, he immediately said, hey, man, how old are you? I told him my age, and he was like, yo, give me your email. And from then on, I kind of had like a sketchy feeling like, man, maybe he's trying to do some music with me. I don't know. I didn't know who he was at first. You know, I don't know. So gave him my email, gave him my number, you know, all that stuff. So, and let's just say the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is amazing. First of all, that's a great story. Yeah. I'm glad I asked you to tell it and not just breeze over it.
Yeah, that's a
That's a gem, actually.
Yeah.
That's a gem of a story. I'm so glad. I was like, oh, why don't you tell the story? Yeah. Okay, so you end up giving your number to this guy. Was that the BET guy?
That's the BET. Yeah.
That's the BET guy. Yes. So he lets you know, yeah, we want you on 106 in Park. You're gonna come do Wild Out Wednesday in New York City, right?
Okay.
You get on the plane. Do they pay? I guess they pay for the airfare.
I don't want to even get into that.
Okay, that's fine. So you get on the
airfare. No, they don't pay for it.
They don't pay for it. Well, it's fine. It's opportunity. They're giving you an opportunity.
Exactly. They pay you by putting you out there.
Exactly. And it's worth its weight in gold. And, you know, Booker T, who I work for and we talked about at dinner, says this every time we talk. And it's so true. He goes, being on television is worth its weight in gold. Because you're being seen by everybody. You're able to, and I was telling you this, I'm able to be seen by everybody.
Yes, bro.
You know, so it's worth its weight in gold. 106 in Park, obviously the TRL of the hip-hop R&B community.
Yeah.
All right. Total Request Live, you remember TRL, right?
Yeah.
Carson Daly.
Yes.
The good old days.
Oh, those, man.
So you go to BET. You walk in the studio where they shoot the show. You're backstage where legends have been. You know, this is, what, 2012, right?
Right.
So, I mean, Kanye West just graced the stage, you know, the year before. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
50 Cent. Yeah. Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Nas.
Yeah.
Greatest of all time. R. Kelly.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Dude, I got this, like, weird sense of showing excitement. Like, my friends... My DJ, my manager, were like, they're head over heels. Like, oh, it's going down, man. We put it down. It's going down. We out here. Woo! You know, they every 5 seconds were doing something crazy. And, like, you know, think about what we're going to do after the show, getting drinks and all that stuff. And the only thing that's going on my mind is just singing. And I get very, I don't know what, I get extremely calm when I'm the most excited. I've always been like that. Well, I won't say I've always been like that. I'll say as I've grown into manhood, I definitely have grown into a much calmer, excited person. When I was young, I used to just be like, you know, screaming and jumping around and things like that. That's who I was, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, through that experience, I was calm. I was shaking hands. I was talking to people and calm. Ended up meeting Roxy and Terrence because they were still on the show. Roxy, oh.
She's fine, man.
Extra fine. In person, that woman there, boy. Woo, she
gorgeous.
She smells good. She gave me like a side hug, and I remember that. I hope she remembers me, too. I wrote a song about her, and you're going to hear it one day, girl. I'm going to send it to your email.
the side hug, though. But like she. But I remember as a younger man watching 106 in Park and seeing Roxy and talking to my friend Trey about how fine she was, right, and just how attractive she was, and you weren't really even sure of her ethnicity, and you didn't really care.
No,
she was aracial.
Yeah,
oh, she was so sexy. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. And you were just like, man, that was a woman that every man, from any walk of life, age, even a gay man, would look at her and be like, man, she's hot.
She's fine, man.
She was, and you were getting. She smelled good, huh? She smelled real good.
Like she smelled like lavender.
Oh, that's the best smell.
Yeah. Lavender and freshly pressed hair.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, it's a flat iron. It's something about flat ironed hair. It just smells.
It is a comfortable smell in a sense.
It's like an aphrodisiac.
It is. You're like, oh, girl. I know you put into work to look good.
Ooh, you don't understand what I do to you. You don't understand. But yeah, she.
Look at Terrence now, too.
Yeah, well, after going from what we're talking about.
No, I'm saying, but look at him, like how his career's blossom.
Yeah, he's growing. He's on E. Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's on E.
And he's awesome on E. But anyway, yeah, Roxy's hot. Yeah. So continue with your story. I'm sorry. No,
fam, you're good. You're good. So I ended up meeting the other contestants. I talked to a few people. Talked to Pat Charles again. Got in the gate. Saw the audience. Walked around. It was when they were freshly doing the new setup. And it was like the first time they were setting these things up. It had a few other people from Houston who came. And actually, quick side note before I forget this. A month later is when Miss Mikey was the host.
Really?
Yeah. So they really were showing a lot of love to Houston. They had some other Houston artists who went on there.
It was a month later?
A month later, bro.
Really? It was that quick?
June 27th to August. It was a month later. They were doing that. They were doing the testing at the same time.
Wow.
The host interviews or whatever.
Yeah.
Done at the same time. And
wow.
Then a month later, she was on the show.
Wow.
That's wild. It's extremely crazy.
That is crazy. And, you know, Vari V was on 106 doing the Wild Out Wednesday.
Vari was.
Feel like it was around the same era.
Yeah. And I think it was another group. I actually forgot their names.
Well, they must not have been important.
You stupid. But, I mean, yeah, it was cool. But just to – I want to sum it up because Childish Gambino was there. Jordan Sparks was there. And I got a chance to see Childish and actually – I'm going to be honest, too. And if he hears this, I want you to hear this for what I mean and what I'm saying, not for what you feel. Childish performed a song off of his mixtape. That was a mixtape song. And when I heard it, I said, man, I'm a fan of this dude. I thought he was Donald Glover. I didn't know why they called him Childish Gambino.
Yeah, Donald Glover.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, I thought he was about to crack jokes or something.
It's
but it was
so funny how, because Donald Glover is really big in something that was prevalent in an earlier conversation of ours, white America, right?
Right.
We love Donald Glover.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Donald Glover.
Yeah.
So when I find out Donald Glover and Childish Gambino were the same person.
The same person.
I listened to Childish Gambino. I was like, okay, this dude can rap. Had no idea they were the same person.
Yeah.
And then when I found out he got the name Childish Gambino from the Wu-Tang name generator.
The
online,
name generator, dog.
I was like, he got the best one.
Dog, Childish Gambino.
Anyway.
It's so good.
Continue.
Dog, so he performed, and I was like, I was honestly completely unexpecting of it.
Yes.
I didn't know what to expect throughout the entire show. And it wasn't a energetic performance. It was a, hey, I'm Childish Gambino, I rap, and I make music also. And that was like my beginning to say, whoa, this guy actually does make music. And his beats were cool. Beats were fresh. So, I mean, Childish was there. Jordan, I don't know if she performed, whatever. So I ended up going through the whole Coca-Cola thing, talked on television. My phone was ringing. Like, dog, my phone rang so much.
Yeah.
That
I remember.
Dog, I literally watched my battery with this same exact phone I'm holding right now, this iPhone 4S, which is completely out of whack. It's called crack now. The same exact cell phone with the same text messages, same everything on it. I watched my battery life count down by the second because it was so much being used. Like when I turned on Twitter, like it was like 100 mentions. I would check it to clear it, cut it back off. Cut it back on, 100 mentions. Like, within, like, 1 minute, it was that many people talking.
Dude.
Like, it was crazy.
That's insane. You know, I had a similar experience.
Okay.
It was when Jay-Z was dropping Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Yes, bro, yes!
and I tweeted Jay-Z. He responded.
Yes.
Saying, facts only.
Yeah.
That was where he started Facts Only. The hashtag was with the tweet he sent me, right?
Yeah.
And my phone, within seconds, exploded with retweets, mentions, phone calls, text messages.
Exploded.
I was like, holy crap, if I'm Jay-Z, I'm not giving my phone number to anybody because I don't want to have that level of fame and that many people having access to me.
Right.
That was incredible to me. And I mean, everybody commented on it, so I understand.
No, I hit you up. I don't think you even saw my tweet.
I remember. I remember everyone's tweets. Oh, yeah. Thug was hitting me up. Everybody was like, hey, blah, la 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 la, you know.
And yeah.
It was insane.
It was intense, man.
It was insane. That was a special moment.
Bro, you know what? I thought about that situation like deeply as soon as I saw it. I noticed that he was only commenting on mostly Houston people when he commented on your shit. Now think of, let's put this into perspective. This is someone that has sold over
hundreds of millions of albums.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Like more than 2 or 3 diamonds worth of albums.
Yes.
He tours the world, can only do arena shows.
Has the finest wife of all time.
The finest wife of all time. Where is she from?
H-Town.
Houston, Texas. Hmm. Now, the coincidence behind this all. Jay-Z does all of this stuff. Beyonce does all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, the common denominator that we all can say that we all are human beings.
Yes.
So I am not surprised if he actually knows exactly who you are and or listens to this show.
Now, so Jay-Z, that would be incredible.
What's up?
What up, Hov?
You never know who's listening. I was thinking about this one day. I have to think about this really, actually, extremely deeply one day. But it doesn't take much to listen to someone's song on YouTube, watch their video. It just takes one listen. You got one view. Clicked. I'm a normal person. You may feel like you're a normal person. Anyone else can feel like they're a normal person. Or you can be someone that is viewed upon as a celebrity or an icon. But when they click on your YouTube video, it's going to give you how many views? One.
Uno.
Still. So who's to say that they're not listening or looking?
That's true. It's very true. Do you ever think about what people's perception of you is? Because I will say this. When I was first branching out in doing the show and getting into the scene, right?
Yeah.
And figuring out who everybody was.
Yeah.
I heard names such as The Nice Guys, Fat Tony.
Right.
Lelon, Jack Freeman.
Right.
Those were names I heard a lot.
Right.
In my eyes, as a young boy in high school,
yeah,
starting an online radio show, I was like, these guys are celebrities.
Right.
Which might seem weird for you to hear. So to me, I was like, wow, these are people I want to reach out to and get on my show. Boom, boom, boom. You know, yeah. You came on, like I said, episode 9, which you can hear tomorrow.
Yes.
Listeners, you can hear the first time Lelon and I ever had a conversation.
Seriously.
Our first conversation ever.
That's crazy, bro.
We never met.
Until then. That's crazy.
So our first conversation is on the air. So I say that to say, what do you think? Because it's funny, you know, you go through this, and then people start recognizing you from me, you being me, from my show, right?
Right.
And then they recognize me from music, or they recognize me from wrestling, or hosting, or whatever, right? And yeah. It becomes strange to me. To think, people think of me, like I once thought of Lelon, Jack Freeman, The Nice Guys, and Fat Tony,
uh-huh.
Which is the same as Jay-Z or Beyonce are like, wow, I was that guy or I was that girl looking up to Rakim or looking up to Whitney Houston. And now I am in their position.
That's right. Yo, dude, I think of you like that.
You think of me like that?
What?
Why would you think of me like
because that? Because you're Brad Gilmore.
Well, Brad, duh,
your name is a brand, bro.
That's a strong statement.
That's a true statement.
Well, hey, you know, whatever. I just do a podcast, and
you just do a podcast. You're just doing this. That's your perception, and that's a great. I'm glad you're that humble.
Well, that's great. I have no idea what you're talking about. So this podcast is about you. All right, I'm gonna do an intro to this to where I get to talk about me and promote my ish.
Yeah,
this is about you. All right, you're in Brown Sugar Studios. You like I said, I've been jerking off all day.
Keep me playing with y'all, man.
But no, okay. So you're there, BET. You come back though, and you say you come back as a different person.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
What changes with Lelon? Why is Lelon a different person?
Lelon. Leland realized a number of things. I did not win the show. Did not win the show for a few reasons. But I did win in my city. Everyone in my city knew who I was. Slim Thug tweeted about it. Chameleonaire, which is like extremely big inspiration to me.
We're going to talk about?
Yeah, we're going to talk about it, man. He extremely big inspiration. He ended up putting out a tweet telling everybody from Houston to like, yo, turn your TVs on. Leland's about to hit it. And then he ended up putting another tweet up. And then he ended up like retweeting me later. Like, he was like completely supportive. Like, that dude inspires me to the core. And then on top of that, he supports me. That's like being a young ball player and Dr. J comes to the asphalt to play with you. Or Michael Jordan comes to your gym.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What up, dog?
Yeah.
Like, what's up? Play a game of 21?
For real. And I'm not even a rapper.
Yeah.
That dude is a Grammy Award winning, multi-platinum selling artist.
Grammy Award winning from our city.
From Houston.
Yes. Yes.
And he's
rapper.
Supporting Leland.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
That's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. So, after performing, I realized how big and how small. How big and how small. Well, you know, we were talking about perceptions.
Yeah.
Okay. We view people in these ways that create them either big or small. We do things that we classify either big or small. In that performance, that was the biggest energy I'd ever felt, but the smallest I had ever felt as an artist.
Wow.
I'm on the BET stages performing on a Wild Out Wednesday show.
Show 106 in Park, viewed by millions of people.
By millions of people. This is where everybody goes.
Yeah.
And I feel the smallest here because of the pinnacles I plan on reaching.
Wow.
And from then on, I realized the power of being a true artist, not a singer, not a rapper, being an artist, someone who understands the music, breathes the music, and tells their life and lives their life through their music, such as myself. And from then on, I went through a 2-year character building process. I hadn't done anything since 2012, basically. I kind of been around the city a little bit.
You show up every now and then somewhere.
Yeah, I probably, you know, do a show once every 3 months or something, maybe even 5 or 6, you know.
I will say, though, recently, right, a few months ago, when was it? July.
Yeah.
I hosted the Scope Show.
Yeah.
It's my second or third time hosting.
Yeah.
And you performed and twice.
I did.
And were incredible, and I think blew everybody in the building away. To where the Scope Show, for people who don't know, it's an expo of like different arts and people are displaying their art or crafts or something. You know,
yeah.
There are people who have fortune cookies that they make there, and
yeah.
There's artists, jewelry, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's a busy place. There's the main stage. There's an outside stage. There's an upstairs stage. There's people walking in and out to get food from the food truck, right?
Yeah.
As soon as you started singing, though, did you notice all these little busy bees, all these little worker ants stopped, pivoted, and kept their eyes on the stage?
No, I did not notice that, actually.
I noticed.
I did not.
Because I had the benefit of being on the side of the stage, same view that you had.
Right.
Except I had the luxury of not performing.
Right.
But observing.
Huh. Dang, bruh. You, talk to me, bruh. So what, dang. Ah.
You know how you said, you know, what Candy said, you project
right?
Yeah.
But softly, in a way, right?
Yeah.
It's a thing to where some singers, not performers, not artists, but singers will get on a stage, do all their runs, you know, sing their notes, sing their melodies, sing their songs, get right up there and blurt it all out, put it all on the line. Like, I need everybody in this room to look at me. I need everybody to listen to me, to love me, to want to experience what I'm singing, right? What I'm performing.
Yeah.
When you want people to look at you, what are they going to do? They don't want to look at you.
No,
right?
Not at all.
You turn them off. But your presence, you walked on the stage, you said, "Hi, my name is Lelon," which they could see because there's a big-ass graphic behind you that says your name. So you're kind of an idiot for saying this. But you mosey on. You didn't walk on stage. You moseyed on stage.
Yeah.
And you sat down with your DJ.
Yeah.
And your light-skinned Teddy Graham-looking DJ. Yeah. And your Steve Aoki-looking guitar player.
Yeah. Frank, what's up, Frank? What's up, DJ DeForth?
And you moseyed on stage and started singing, and it captured everyone's attention.
Yeah.
Not because you wanted to capture everybody, like in the sense of you didn't say, "Look at me, I can sing really well," right? You sang to the people. You sang to yourself. You sang for yourself, essentially.
Yeah.
Performing a song that you wrote. And the crowd responded according. Michael Jackson didn't go out there and say, "Look at me." You couldn't take your eyes off of him because he was magnetic, right?
Yeah. Woo.
Prince magnetic.
Prince. Woo. Mike. Woo.
You know what I'm saying? They were magnetic. Mick Jagger, right? Steven Tyler. Magnetic.
Magnetic.
That's what they were. They weren't saying, "I'm a good singer. I'm an amazing performer. Look at me." They were magnetic. They made you look at them without trying. And that was something very interesting I got to observe when all the busybodies stopped, pivoted their bodies to look at the stage and remain looking for the duration of your performance.
Yeah.
That's a true power.
Huh.
To command a stage without trying to.
Yeah. Yeah. Dang. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I just had fun.
Exactly.
Being
myself.
You
were just up there to do you.
Yeah.
Right? Not to... I think that's where a lot of people can mess up, because I'm not going to... I don't even remember the person's name, but there was a performer later that day that was, "Look at me, look at me. I want everybody to look at me."
Yeah.
And guess what? That person sucked.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it out there. I'm sorry. If anybody from the Scope Show is listening, I offend y'all for the booking, but that person sucked.
Yeah, dude, you ain't got to say the name.
I'm not saying any names.
Yeah.
But that person was terrible because that person was, "Look at me, look at me. I'm a singer. I'm a singer. I'm not an artist. I'm not a performer. I'm probably not even a songwriter. I'm a singer."
Right.
"And I want everyone to look at me so you can tweet out my name, use the hashtag... I'm about that bullshit." "So I can get my buzz generated in the city so I can hand you my demo, which Brad Gilmore is going to use as a coaster for his tea while I'm editing this podcast."
Man. Dog. Oh, my gosh, bro. Oh, my gosh, bro.
But isn't it all in the presentation?
It is.
And how you present yourself and how people respond to you?
Yes, it is, man.
Because it's not about... it's not about you acting out who you think you are on the stage, right?
Right, right.
You don't want to act. You want people to react.
Correct.
Right? That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You don't need to go out there and pretend... Since I saw Beyonce and Rihanna do this same lane that I'm trying to be in,
yeah,
this same lane, so I'm going to emulate people who are very successful at what they do to try to get into that position. But when you try to emulate, you're imitating, essentially, correct?
Correct.
And imitation might be the highest form of flattery,
Right. But it's not going to get you anywhere.
No, it's going to be the quickest way to get you
nowhere.
Forgotten.
You're going to go nowhere really fast if you're imitating or ripping off somebody else. Right. But when you go out there, like I said, with your Teddy Graham DJ and Steve Aoki on the guitar,
yeah,
and you just do you,
yeah,
you project softly,
yeah.
The yeah. whole it's crazy. Like I'll equate it to wrestling, in the sense of in the 80s. Everybody, it was Hulk Hogan, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was, well, let me tell you something, brother.
Right.
He wanted you to look at him.
He did.
And now Hulk Hogan, one of the greatest of all time.
Literally.
Bar none, I bow down to Hulk Hogan. But he was, well, let me tell you something, brother. He literally said it in that first thing. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Instead of just telling.
But a guy who was amazing when he was doing a promo was a guy named Jake the Snake Roberts.
Okay.
He didn't have to raise his voice. He didn't have to tell. He has to say, let me tell you something. He would whisper very softly to where you would have to lean in, cuff your ear, so you could hear what this guy was saying.
Yeah.
He drew you in by speaking softly
right.
and carrying a big stick.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt style. And that's why Jake the Snake Roberts was able to project through the television. This girl, man, who was performing at the Scope show, who wasn't good in my humble opinion, was, let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah.
While Lelon was, let me explain something to you. I'm Jake the Snake Roberts. I'm just going to whisper. I'm going to speak softly and carry a big stick.
Yeah, that's what's up. We carry big sticks around here.
We Hey, I carry a big lot. Of, like, I got a lot of big, all right?
Yeah, I feel you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we definitely in that club together. But, no homo. No homo.
But I mean, it's just an interesting thing of performance, because it's an art, you know. It is an art, and there's a certain way of doing a performance. Yeah. And I think you're very. And here's the thing: I think sometimes you might be so good that people don't even realize that they're watching something that's amazing.
Whew.
Yeah. This is what happens when you podcast late at night.
Yeah, we're talking about some real in here, man.
This is some real stuff.
Yeah.
We're talking really real right Whew. Now. I mean, and can you believe we're an hour into this podcast?
We are already?
Yeah.
Bro, we've been, yes. No, and, I can't believe it, but.
Yeah, we hadn't been talking about anything really about you.
We've just been going.
We've just been going, man.
This is the way it's supposed to be, though, man.
So anyway, okay, back to, so you went through this soul searching almost of Lelon.
Right.
And. You have a project out right now.
Uh-huh.
It's an EP, right?
Correct.
Deprived.
Yes.
Talk about it.
Deprived. Six record, 7-track EP about how I feel the industry is deprived.
Yeah. That's tough.
That's it.
That's what it's about.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, he's put it out there. That's what it's about. Go download it. We'll move right along then.
Okay.
Look, it's fine. You might you that almost might be enough in a sense.
Yeah.
That kind of summed it all up right there.
Literally.
That's speaking soft and carrying a big stick.
Yeah.
That's the theme right now.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. The industry is deprived. What is it deprived of if you listen to the project, to the album, to the EP, to the music,
yeah.
to the records?
Yeah.
You're going to understand.
Yeah.
It's a clear vision as told by Lelon Walker.
That's right. That's right. What's funny is this project... started out as a filler for my volumes of albums that are coming out. I started out with the Prelon. I Am the Prelon, the EP, which is the precursor to the I Am the Lelon LP. Now, I've been working on that I Am the Lelon LP since college, like basically since like 2011, 2010. And that project it's been done like twice. Like I felt like I was complete the first time, then had a change of feeling, decided to move away from it. The second time it got done, I felt like it was complete in a lot of ways, but it wasn't the same. Then I just moved away, and I was like, it's just one of those projects that when I put this out, I have to be completely sure. And I said, you know what? I'm tired of hearing what I'm hearing on the radio. I want to be myself. From doing the hooks and being around the city of Houston and being in a less creative environment and versatile environment, I find myself being completely restricted because Houston has a, this is the way we sound, this is what we like, this is what's going to get you played mentality. And with these guys, I mean, I only thing I can do is respect it. If you own it, you control it, I respect it. But there's a world out there. So I literally grabbed from every corner of my thought process at that moment and said, no song on this project is going to be in the same genre. So I took Detox, which is the 97.9 crowd, the hip-hop and R&B crowd. Then I have Shower, which is the pop crowd. Then I have Underwater, which is the Corinne Bailey Ray / Sarah Bareilles / what's Dido class.
Okay.
All together. Then I have a song called Natural, which is for my intellectual, well-educated black women. Also, the completely natural woman. So that's just for all women. Then that's just a snippet at that. Then I have the song called Fortress, which is a ode to the funk. It's our pop hip hop mixed version of the funk. It's a multi-genre song, actually. It has funk elements, hip hop elements, and it's just a song that we just wanted to completely have fun. We didn't want to follow any guidelines with this song at all. Then you have a legend speaking to the people, and then you have a song called Deprived. And Deprived is like a Dave Matthews Band got in the studio, smoked a blunt with Bob Marley and Jimi Hendrix. But Dave Matthews Band sang the lyrics. That's what that song is. So that's where it was. And it literally was just, literally is and just was a record to have complete fun. I haven't had the opportunity to just have fun on music. Just sing and have fun. Perform fun music. It's not too well thought, except for Deprived. It has a different message from the rest. But it I don't want you to get the project and have to think so much that you can't even enjoy it.
Yeah.
Have fun with me. Let's do this. Let's go out to the park. Let's put our feet in the pool. Let's make sweet love and think about how we can be together forever. Or let's just go to the club and act like we never met each other before. And then take each other home. That's what that project is for. Or when we get done with all of that, let's reflect on what's going on with our lives and realize how blessed we are with the position that we're in. And let's blossom from where we're planted. So it's the root.
You know, and you touched on this at dinner about having an intellectual conversation.
Right.
Even though obviously we're both bad at math because we couldn't figure out how to split a check. at all.
Not at all.
I still don't even know if we got it right.
Right.
But intellectual conversation. You know, I've done hundreds of these shows, had hundreds of guests from all different places.
Right.
A lot of them, I wouldn't say a lot of them, but there are some select people that were not intellectuals.
Right.
Right. But I've loved every conversation I've ever had on the show, except one, but it's fine. There's been one conversation I just couldn't stand.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody else, it's been an amazing experience to talk to everybody, but you have such a different way of thinking than anybody I've gotten a chance to talk to ever, in the sense of
you know that, and we talked about it, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, that's all a character, a facade, not real.
It's not.
It's not a real thing. But what we're doing right now, talking to one another, having a conversation about life, music, love, and everything in between.
Yeah.
That's when you make a genuine connection with somebody on a mental, emotional level.
Right.
Right? That's when you can actually experience. It's more than what's the record, when's the project drop, who shot the video.
Yeah.
Who else you got on the project?
That's garbage, man.
That's the run-of-the-mill bullshit.
Yeah.
That we've been that we've been conditioned to, as an interviewer, to ask an artist.
Right.
But when an artist comes in who does not care about their Twitter followers, you know, I said in a song, you think Twitter followers equate to an actual following, but no one really fucks with you like you got a promise ring, right?
Ooh!
In the sense of...
Ooh!
But in the sense of, you can have 50,000 followers on... Leland, don't look at me like that.
Bro, you spit... please say that line one more time, bro. Say that line. Slowly, because that was stupid.
Think Twitter followers equate to an actual following, but no one really fucks with you like you got a promise ring.
Brad Gilmore, ladies and gentlemen.
But I said that because it's a real thing. You see, somebody has 100,000 Instagram followers and they get 500 likes or whatever.
Yeah.
And they think, I'm the shit. You know what I'm saying? There's a point in my life to where it's like, I would put up pictures on my Instagram to see if I could get X amount of likes out of it, right?
Yes, bro.
Because you think likes are validation. Likes aren't validation. You double tapping my image doesn't do anything for me,
it doesn't,
right?
Except for give you a like.
It gives me one like, right?
Yes.
It lets me know you saw my image, you decided to literally tap with your index finger or thumb twice on your screen of your cellular device.
Cell phone.
Just so you could let me know I saw that picture.
That's it.
That's all. You retweet something. How many times has someone tweeted you a song and you just retweet it? You don't even listen to it.
Yeah, I mean.
Or you favorite it.
Bro. I mean.
Here's the thing. I like favorites on Twitter.
Me too. Because
someone favorites your tweet, that's like someone like saying like, yeah, I saw what you had to say. I just didn't want to share it with everybody.
Yeah, that's yes.
It's sidestepping the retweet.
It is.
It's a sidestep.
It's like, oh, good, good, good.
It's cool.
Thanks.
It's like on iMessage when someone reads your text message but they don't reply.
Right.
You're like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I know you read it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are the bubbles?
Yes. Talk to me.
Talk to me. But in essence, though, what I'm saying is the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, the MySpace, the Friendster, the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What does it mean? It's not real life.
It's not.
It's life online.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You can make up whoever you want to be online, right?
Right. It's a story.
It's a story. But it's the story you want to tell.
Right.
Right? Personally. But you said something about being transparent, being self-aware, being honest with yourself, right? Right. Which I think Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, they don't allow us to be transparent.
No, they don't.
It's designed to be a facade.
Yes. Completely.
To be an image.
Now, there are normal ass people who live their lives like celebrities do. They take these incredible ass iPhone photos or Samsung Galaxy photos and
out of the Android bullshit. No one's got that shit.
No Androids in this room, but like we have to work on our lighting and we have to work. They're not in the entertainment industry. But the lighting has to be right, or stand right here, or it has to be linear, or it has these types of things. It's like, man, what do you really do with your life besides do you just take pictures? That's it. All you do is get dressed and take pictures and post abstract pictures of things that you feel are cute.
Yeah.
That's it.
But I think, though, the Twitter, the Facebook, as a powerful a tool as it can be.
They are. Definitely.
It's an incredible tool. But it's the reason why so much shit has been put out into the atmosphere of negativity, hate, and the third, but yet most important, horrible music.
Yeah.
Has been put out into the atmosphere due to Twitter and retweeted and people following garbage.
Right.
Because everyone else is following it. Right? They don't want to know what's good, what they think is good.
Right.
They want to know what everyone else thinks is good.
That's right.
You know, Jerry Seinfeld said, you know, men don't want to see what's on TV. We want to see what else is on TV. Right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's the same mentality of I don't want to think for myself. So this person has a million followers and a lot of people are talking about them. So they must be good. So I'm going to follow and I'm going to buy that song because right. everyone else likes it.
Right.
But when there's someone like Lelon who puts out genuinely good music, yeah. right? Not trend following, not motive behind the song. You just went to a studio and made a record, music.
Right.
Because that's what you do.
Right.
That's your gift to the world. That's your God-given talent.
Right on.
But you're not into that stuff. You're not into the celebrity bullshit. It doesn't faze you. You don't like it. You don't care for it.
Right.
You're a true artist you're what an artist is by definition.
Right.
In a sense, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you care about it?
I won't say I won't care. It's just not something that has raised my complete interest. I've always had the most interest in creating great music.
Yeah.
Music has always been my thing. I just want to hop on beats and wait my turn, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, if I focused on fame, people are going to want to see how I... No, people are going to gauge me by my fame. If I focused on my pockets, people are going to be treating me like a has what. But if I focus directly on music, I come out when I need to. And I put out music here and there, scarce. We can count the records. There's no reason Lelon should be in the running with any other R&B singers, any other R&B musicians, anyone who sings in this city. I should be in the race by how much content I've put out. I should not be in the race. I've only put out, what, 5 songs on the pre-line, and I just put out 6 songs on Deprived, and it's been in a 4-year span. When there are cats songs. Who are on their third project and fourth project. There's no reason my name should even be being brought up. But in believing in quality over quantity,
yeah,
the power gets raised when you don't have more, well, don't have as much as the next man, as in regards to what we put on the table. Somebody can put down a plate of neck bones, oxtails, beans and rice, greens, cornbread. Or you can have a guy over here with a souffle. Who are you talking to?
Yeah. It's incredible.
So, yeah, I'm really blessed to... I'm just blessed to be given what God has given me. This, like you said, I truly and honestly believe this is a God-given talent, and this is something that God has instilled in me through the various motivations that have that continuously grow within me and the rain that has allowed my seed to grow. Even it's crazy to even talk about like growth in the beginning process. On my album cover, I actually put some strange lines hanging from the top, which are actually roots.
Okay.
So we're going to come back to this project, and you're going to see why I did this, why I'm talking about this. And in 10 years, people are going to come back and think about this project and say, wow, this guy was ahead of his time. You're going to see that. And when you hear it, you're going to think, man, he took it in stride. Because all of the stuff he completed within this 10-year mark, is something we couldn't even predict it. We could talk about the Grammy Awards. We could talk about the platinum sales. We could talk about the artist that he's written for. We could talk about the artist that he's revived. The careers that he's sculpted through the music that he's made. The songs that he's written with the various producers he's worked with. And the music he produced on his own. But we'll have to come back in 10 years. So I'm going to leave it at that.
So that's what deprived is.
That's deprived.
It's the seed that's been planted to grow into the next great oak tree.
Oh, yes.
Of knowledge, music, talent, and art.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I want to touch on a couple more things before we get out of here.
Let's do it.
But that was an awesome thing to say. So two things. Just so we can keep it on a fun, light, unintellectual, doesn't matter, bullshit tip.
Let's do it.
To get out with. First off, Chamillionaire. I want to talk about Chamillionaire for a second.
Yeah.
Because me growing up, the first mixtape, quote unquote, I was ever handed or listened to in my entire life was the mixtape Messiah, right?
Woo!
All three. I had the 3-disc one.
Dope.
The original, the mixtape Messiah, the one with all Mike Jones disses, and then the Chopped and Screwed version by OG Ron C, right?
Dope.
I remember my jam was the let me go and call some hoes that I know with Kanye and Stat Quo.
That's right. Kanye was on there.
He was on the mixtape Messiah.
Stat Quo.
He said, Kanye West said, if Benzino got a Benz and they call him Benzino, when I get my Bentley, they're going to call me Bentlino.
Bentlino, yeah.
A lot of shit changes. I can hook up with Jay-Z-O. For the track, costs about 800 C notes. Oh.
Yeah.
And he said, sometimes I want to be like, fuck my bitch, but I don't want nobody to fuck my bitch, even if a modeling chick suck my dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I got to go back and listen to that, dog. But
anyway, so Mixtape Messiah was the first thing I was given. I thought Chamillionaire was the greatest of all time, right?
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I heard that album, I was like, what? I literally was like walking around, you know, who? Dyke Jones, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He said Dyke Jones, and it was amazing. It was an amazing time.
Dog!
Right?
You
know, like, I mean, just everything. He did a game over freestyle. I mean, he was just amazing, right?
Yeah.
So I got the opportunity May 4th, 2012, to interview Chamillionaire, right?
At the show.
At the Paul Wall show, yeah.
I was there.
You were there. I interviewed you earlier in the day
yeah.
on a live broadcast.
Yeah.
You and the nice guys and Paul Wall and everybody.
Right.
But I was sitting there, me one-on-one with Chamillionaire. The video is still on my YouTube page.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And we were talking about his project that he released at the time, Ammunition, I believe was the name of it.
Yeah, it was Ammunition.
And I was like, literally, this is how I intro'd it. I was like, there's a lot of talent on this album, man. And he was like, yeah. I'm like, you got a lot of talent on here. I was like, you got, and at the same time, we said Leland,
yeah.
right? At the very same time, we said Leland.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you know, Leland, a guy I interviewed, you know, a guy I know, someone I consider a friend, and one of the greatest in my time, one of the guys who inspired me actually to pick up a pen and write,
mm-hmm.
which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
They made music together. And I mean, we've talked about it before. But that song, All My Way, was just incredible for me to see the hard work and true talent. Diamonds, you know, shine through the rough, right? You
yeah.
know, and as much crap there is around, you can still have that rosebud growing, you know, out of the concrete, right? Out of the cement.
Yeah.
How was that working with Chamillionaire?
Man, that was literally the beginning of what life-changing and mental altering standpoints for me. That was it. That was like, dog, you ever had a moment that you could not ever predict and
yeah.
you did not ever expect, but once it was over, it's a memory that will be burned in you forever?
Yeah.
That's one that's been branded since the jump. since the email I got on my BlackBerry in the movies, since the first phone call, since the first time I ever got to experience someone who is seasoned in the game, that was expedient about their business and completely honest and transparent about their business, and also punctual with their sessions and the way they operate.
Yes.
That dude, we talked on the phone. He told me he was in Atlanta. He'll be back by Thursday. Let's get in the lab Wednesday or Thursday, something like that. He calls me Wednesday, asks me what time I'm free, then asks me my fee. I said, man, I'm not charging you. You're a chameleonaire. What do you mean? He said, nah, bro, you need to charge, man. This is what he said to me over the phone. First off, the first thing he said was, how will you get respect if you don't name a price? And I said, I was like, but I mean, nah, man, you're a chameleonaire. He was like, bro, I'm not doing a record with you without paying you. So what's your price? I was like, well, I mean, I usually charge He was like, man, okay, I'm going to triple that. And from then on, that was my price for that whole year. And people respected it. People paid it. And then the next year, I doubled that. And that's what it's been. And it's not about the money. It's
pay us what you owed us for all the years that you owed us.
Yeah. I can't even put it in words, man. It's basically like your mentor dropped a gem on you. And you have to make sure you wear that gem everywhere you go now.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
It goes back to me with Booker T when he told me the most incredible thing ever. We were talking about making money in the entertainment industry and life after. And he said to me, it's not what you earn, it's what you save. And I was like, man, that's the most crucial piece of advice anyone's given me when it comes to managing my finances. It's not what you earn, it's what you save. But back to Chameleonaire.
Bro.
So on my way, there's a lyric video, and you actually shot an actual music video, right?
Yeah.
But it's not going to be released or anything like that, right? Or it hasn't as of now.
Brad, you keeping up, man.
Huh?
You keeping up.
I am.
You're keeping up. That's crazy. No one has talked about that. No one. You're keeping up.
I've been waiting for it.
Fam, we went out and shot that video. No, no one knows. Bro. You're keeping up, Brad.
I see everything.
You do.
God, I see it.
Dog, that was years ago. Dog, we went out and shot that video in L.A. And there were a few complications just with the video and a little bit of the footage. Some stuff was a little too good. And Chameleonaire had his plan as to how... Well, not even plan. He's a strict visionary.
Yeah.
And he had his vision set. And there were a few kinks that needed to be smoothed out. And I don't feel as if they were churned properly. So he took an audible route, used that footage, and created another song. So he ended up using the video footage. I didn't get the chance to be in that video. But I feel like that was a blessing, because when he put out the new video, it immediately went to BET, immediately went to MTV, immediately went to MTV Jams, immediately went all over these TV networks. And I was at a point where I could lay a hook down, but I wasn't in a comfortable studio setting to where I can just freely create music. And at that time, if that happened, I saw that as a crash and burn syndrome, that you get too much fame way too fast and cannot recover. That's like
a blessing in disguise.
Blessing in disguise by not happening. That's like the get rich or die trying effect. When 50 Cent put that out, he went diamond off of that record. Broke records with the first album he put out. You have to get better.
It's almost you set yourself up to fail.
Literally.
It's like you did so well out your first time. What are you chasing? It's crazy.
You said it.
So for that, it's like you put that. So I mean, it's a blessing in disguise. So then you started to do what you actually wanted to be able to do.
Right.
We could talk forever. We've been talking for a while.
Yeah.
I want to end with this. Right. We're both fans of women.
Yeah, we are.
We love women.
Little ladies.
Let's say I just got to do it just for the world.
Okay.
All right. We're going to do a ranking.
Ranking.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is tough.
Uh-oh.
Because I know Lelon likes those juicy booties.
I'm actually more of a top-heavy man.
You're a top-heavy man.
Yeah, I am.
Well, just do this favor for me then.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to name five women, and I need you to rank them. As terrible as that is, I need you to rank these women.
Okay.
One through five.
All right.
Okay. Let's go first. I'm going to name out the five women, and you're going to rank them for me. Now, these might... Now, these are more bottom-heavy women,
okay,
predominantly.
Throw it at me.
But here we go. All right? I'm going to go Iggy Azalea.
Iggy Azalea.
Nicki Minaj. Kim Kardashian. Jennifer Lopez. Beyoncé.
Whew.
Whew. How are you ranking those women?
Okay, five is worst, one is best?
Yeah, I wouldn't say worst, but five is least, one least. Is best.
Yeah, because they all fine.
They all, whew.
So this is Iggy Azalea, Nicki Minaj,
Kim K,
Kim J-Lo, Beyonce. And Beyonce. Okay, so I'll start with my fifth, Iggy Azalea.
Okay, and why Iggy at five?
She's gorgeous.
She is gorgeous.
I appreciate more of the raw Iggy Azalea more than the...
The done up?
The created Iggy Azalea. I want that raw Iggy to come back out. So that's
five.
Right. And it's no slight to her. It's just
your rank. It's just this what is, it is. It's just what you feel.
It's what it is, man. You know? It's just what
it
is,
man.
Yeah. Four left. That's Beyonce, Jennifer, Kim K, and Nicki. Nicki would be number four for me.
Okay.
I'm into the... I mean, for some reason, I'm into the thick, petite, and dainty, abstract, stereotypical,
off-the-wall
type
of painting,
you know?
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, now, Nicki Minaj is a voluptuous, gorgeous woman. Extremely talented. Demanding. And comfortable woman. So I'm going to put her at number four.
Okay.
Number three, I will say... J-Lo.
Number three.
She's wine fine. She's grown as hell. And at what, like 40, what, 45 or something?
45.
That woman is...
amazing.
That woman is fine.
Whew.
She is fine.
One of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, man. Literally one of the greatest of all time. And she definitely stunned the world with that dress she had, that bluish-green dress when she was dating Diddy.
When she was dating Puffy.
Yeah. Puffy. You're right. It was Puffy. It was. So, she's number three. Number two, I'll say Kim K. It's something about Kim Kardashian. She's one extremely gorgeous woman. She's extremely unique. But she has this flawless character about her. I don't know what it is. When she first came out, I was glued to the tube. When I saw her, I was like, man, that Kim Kardashian girl is fine.
As hell.
Yeah. And then, speaking of flawless, I mean, Beyonce has to be number one. I'm talking about back when she was walking out of corner stores on Pepsi commercials and there was a guy sitting on the bench and all he could do was, oh. Yeah.
That's the feeling, too.
Yeah. She's given me that since the beginning. Since... Bills, since what, Writings on the Wall,
all that stuff,
all of it, since Survivor, since...
Can I tell you where my love for Beyonce started? Was I think it was BET Awards or VMAO, I think it was BET Awards.
Yeah.
She did a performance where she had Terrence Howard in a chair and she danced on Terrence Howard.
Oh man, I saw that. And he was too with it.
He was too on.
Yeah, he was rocking.
And I saw that and I was like, this must be possibly the most gorgeous woman I've ever laid eyes on. Until obviously I met my girlfriend.
Yeah.
But before that, this woman was the object of all of my desires. Yeah. Beyonce is forever number one.
Yeah.
Our lists don't deviate far from one another.
My number two and three are just switched around. J Lo's number two for me, but you can appreciate it.
Yeah.
Lelon, at Lelon on those things that we don't care about.
Twitter and Instagram, at LeeLonn. That's Deprived two E's and two N's.
EP is out now.
That's right.
You can download it where?
You can download it for free right now on SoundCloud, but by the time. It's going to be on all your digital retail stores in about a week or a half. So, yeah.
So it might be on there now.
Yeah.
By the time people are hearing this. So,
yeah.
Thank you, sir. Right it's on. Been a pleasure.
Right on. It is. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, y'all, everyone, y'all tune in next time if I can follow this interview. Y'all tune in next time. Brad Gilmore for Lelon. Deprived EP out now.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Come tune in next week. Oh,
yeah. The Brad Gilmore Show expresses views and opinions that apply to Brad Gilmore and his guest alone. They do not reflect the views and opinions of Reality Wrestling 2011 or any other entity.